I told Brenton several weeks ago I wanted him to give his testimony here this weekend. It's been hard to get it in, but there's a lot of people. I hope there's hundreds of you that would love to hear your testimony. Thank you.
Can you turn to Matthew chapter 5, please? Verse 43. The Lord's talking to Israel. You have heard that hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. I'm sure you all know, but the Lord subjected himself to his own instructions. Paul tells us about that in Romans chapter 5. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So Christ loved his enemies too. But what we all deserve is this. If you'll turn to Nahum, chapter 1. Nahum chapter 1, verse 2. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. There's not one of us that don't deserve that wrath. And he loves him. When I was a kid, Mom took us to a Baptist church in Panama City, Florida. Actually, there's two of them. We switched one because we didn't like the first one. And when I was about 5 or 6 years old, Mom was introduced. I was too young to even remember, really. But I know I was about 5 or 6 years old. We started going to this house in Panama City. It belonged to Brother Bill and Susie Burrell. Yeah, there. I was only about 6 years old, I believe. And of course, at the time, it was just another church. At 6 years old, what does any six-year-old know? You know, they hear the scriptures, they want to fall asleep. And I think I probably did. But I thank the Lord for Brother Mark ministry, as most of you do. But I can tell you this, if Brother Moore was alive today, I think he'd probably admonish some of us for propping him up the way we do. I'm the first to tell you, I love him in the Lord. I don't think he ever knew me, and I don't think I ever really knew him. But the day he died, I think I got an email about it. I cried. I never met the man, but I cried about it. So we moved around a lot when we were kids, and I want to say I was about 17 years old. I had a week, about a week. I'd go to bed every night, just under a great deal of conviction. We'd been going to Brother Jerry Sanders' class there in our home. We lived in a little town called Sampson, Alabama. It's near Dothan, if you've ever, I'm sure you've heard of Dothan. And for about a week straight, I'd go to bed under great conviction. Never told a soul. Probably until, two, 3 months ago. Never told a soul that. And just that week just came and went. Too scared to tell anybody about it. Pride, I reckon. And 19 years old, maybe 18, me, my brother, Terry, back there in the middle, and three other men about my size. We all piled up in a little tiny Mazda GLC, if you can imagine how small a car is and how big a man we are. We drove all the way up to North Carolina and listened to a conference there at Brian Sykes' church. Had a good time, and I made a decision at that point that I believed the gospel. I'm like, yeah, that's great stuff. And I didn't know it at the time, but I walked out of there a lost man. Claimed salvation and ignorantly lost. So we're going around. My father was in the Air Force, and so I was an Air Force brat. We're moving around. My parents got divorced, and I just kept moving around. And I moved to San Antonio back in '93, and started attending Brother Jerry Lockhart's class in New Braunfels. Not very faithful to the class. I came some weekends, some weekends I didn't. And that was really it. And then in 2005, I got together with my wife Shelly there in the back. In case you hadn't noticed, I've got most of this broke down, because until yesterday, none of this information had really left my head. Yesterday when Brother Jack was telling me that he was probably going to get me to give my testimony last night, I'm thinking, I need to get this down on paper. I've never told anybody before. So I needed to get it wrote down. And so I'm still kind of waiting. So I talked to Shelly about some truths that I knew. You know, I've not had the misfortune of being tied up in religion most of my life. I've been taught right division virtually my whole life. I knew Paul was my apostle. I knew Jesus Christ was a minister to the circumcision. I knew these things. but none of them saved me. Right division didn't save me. Knowing what my Bible said didn't save me. But I got together with Shelley, and when I got with her, I felt she needed to know some things. So I showed her a few things that I knew. I knew the gospel, believed it with all my heart, and I felt, well, you know, I don't know my Bible like I ought to. We got this local class here taught by Percy Peters, so I need to take her to that. I hadn't been going to that class really, and learning, subjecting myself to the teachings of the Word like I ought to. But Shelley needs to, so if I went for anybody, I've got to go for my wife. She needs to know. So I begin going to these classes for her. And in 08 we got married. Percy married us at my mother's house. And so we're faithfully going to this class, and yeah, I feel, I even started my own ministry on Facebook. Some of you might know me on Facebook. I don't know. And I'm doing the Lord's work. I'm pleasing God. And it didn't do anything for me. And so I'm sitting there in class one Sunday. And I've been questioning my salvation this whole time. You know, this and that in Scripture. And I'm just things running around my head. I'm just unsure. And Percy, I don't remember everything he was preaching on this Sunday, but he mentioned the rapture. He was talking about 1 Thessalonians 4. He mentioned that, you know, there's somebody in this room who, if the rapture was to happen right now, you're deathly afraid. You're petrified that that's going to happen right now, and you're not going to go. And I felt like I had a heat lamp on. I felt, man, everybody's looking at me. And I mean, God's looking at me. I mean, man, that's scary. And I didn't say anything that day. We walked out of class that day, and that was pretty much the end of it. But I mean, I was still deathly afraid. And so one day, you know, I'm sitting here, and I go to and from work, and I'm just pondering on that fear while I'm going to work. And I drive a truck at work at a scrapyard, and I haul scrap for a living. And I'm driving that truck around town, picking up customers, picking up their material. And I'm just everywhere I go, I'm scared. You know, I know I'm saved. There's no way I could possibly be all this. No way. I believe the gospel. No way. So, on the way home from work one day, I swallowed my pride and drove over to Percy's house on the way home from work. And man, that was hard to do. Drove up in his driveway. Man, I don't want to get out of this truck. And got out of my truck and knocked on his door. Man, didn't want to do that either. And I knocked on his door and I said, kind of shaking, but a lot worse than I am right now. And I told him, I'm questioning my salvation. He's like, well, what's the matter? Like, I don't know. He's like, well, come on out here. And we sat down on the front porch and we talked about it. And I took a deep breath and calmed down. And he says, well, you know, what's going on? What's going on in your mind? I'm like, I don't know. I know the gospel. I believe it. What's the matter? And I gave him the rundown, you know. I'm like, well, I believe I trusted the Lord. I said, but I just don't know. And we talked for about 20 minutes, maybe an hour, I don't know. My wife probably tell you. I kind of made her mad because I was late home, coming home from work that day. And he's like, well, why don't you trust the Lord? And I didn't know what to say. And had one part of me say, well, I've already trusted the Lord. Another part of me saying, I don't know. And so I had to get home. My wife was waiting on me. She had supper waiting, and it was probably already cold. So I'm like, you know, I got to go. Shelly's waiting on me. And he bowed his head, and he prayed for me that I don't remember his exact words, but he basically prayed that the Lord wouldn't leave me alone until this was settled. And he didn't. Every day after that, man, I've never known conviction. Just, you know, I'd go to bed one night and just in fear, just in my own mind, just cowering in fear. And I told my wife about it, and she didn't know what to say. So she just laid there with me, and I kind of held her. And that was the night I was going to bed drunk. And then, you know, I'd wake up the next day and I'd go to work and I'm still feeling it. I'm still just scared as ever. You know, what do I do? I'm praying to the Lord. I'm thinking, Lord, what do I do? I know I'm saved. There's no way I could be lost. And I'd be backed up to one of the loading docks of one of my customers, and I'd sit there for a couple minutes, and I'd be in prayer to the Lord. Lord, I know you died for my sins. I'm trusting you. I'm trying so hard. Okay. I trusted you. All right, we're good now, right? And Paul says in Romans 6 that we should reckon ourselves indeed to be dead to sin. Alright, so I ought to be dead to sin. I'm reckoning myself to be dead to sin. You know what? A person who's dead to sin cannot be convicted. But you know what happened the very next day? I got convicted. So I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. I just trusted the Lord yesterday. Why am I being convicted? So I'm praying to the Lord again. Lord, I don't know why I'm being convicted. But I'm trusting you again. Alright. We're good now, right? Alright. Now I'm dead to sin. And tomorrow, I mean, it was like, you ever watch the movie Groundhog Day? So I tried another round. Instead of trying so hard to trust, it was more like, you ever built a house of cards before? You got your house of cards, and you're like, all right, the gospel's right there, I believe it, all right. I'm going to trust you now, Lord, all right, you ready? You ready? All right, now I've trusted you, we're good, right? So I agreed to sin then, right? Same thing the next day. Man, it probably happened for 2 or 3 months. Every day, it just was the same thing over and over again. And that's a lot to fear, I'll tell you what. I don't know about you. But one day, I just got frustrated. Got fed up with dealing with this every day. And I prayed to the Lord one day. I said, Lord, I'm tired of this. I know you died for my sins. And if that ain't good enough, then I'm going to hell anyway. I'm just going to trust you, let you just, you handle it. And I walked away from it, and he did. I ain't been convicted since. And I can't be convicted.
Amen.
Because I'm in Christ. I'm just before God. That was June 8th last year.